This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Moving to a new house is no stroll in the park. You never know how much stuff you have until it's time to get it somewhere else. And the cleaning behind bookshelves and the basement, all the dust and cobwebs, and maybe some lost pet toys too. And for what? To unpack everything again in another place. Lots of us have been there, but when you're not just moving out, but moving an entire house, there's much more involved. Enter the Joseph Sappington Log House. Built more than 200 years ago in 1816, it's one of the oldest homes in the entire St. Louis region. 2 years ago, it was disassembled log by log, chimney stone by chimney stone, and carted away for storage. And the house is being moved again, about 5 miles away from its original location in Afton to Crestwood, where groundbreaking, happens this weekend. To talk about this unusual move, the history of the house, and its new beginning in Crestwood, I'm joined by Diane Durkas, president of the Sappington House Foundation. Diane, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So let's start first with the Sappingtons. Who were they?
Well, the Sappingtons, the first generation, came to the United States by way of Anne Arundel. They came from England in 1657.
And the building of the house, the first one, how did that happen?
So they made their way down through Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Kentucky. And there in Kentucky, they were friends with Daniel Boone. Mm-hmm. And some of the other people that came to the area. Now, they all didn't come at once, but as families, they did. Mm-hmm. And some of Thomas Sappington's brothers and sisters were already married. So those families as well would come, the parents, you know, of the spouse. So Joseph came first from Kentucky, from Fort Boonesboro, and he purchased 1,920 acres of ground. Mm-hmm. They had a few small buildings on the lot. Thomas and Zephaniah, his oldest brother, and Jonah Park, which was a son-in-law, brother-in-law to them, came and scouted the area. There were three little buildings on the property, and then they went home and got the rest of the family. And they lived in those little huts, mm-hmm. cabins, until they could build other houses.
Right.
So as the Sappingtons came, the area grew. They had grist mills. They had cattle. They were basically farmers with nothing. Mm-hmm. It was just wilderness.
Right.
And the Native Americans were still around, so there was still fighting going on and territories that were being expanded. And this was before Missouri became a state. So it was in the time of the Louisiana Purchase. Mm-hmm. So Joseph, which was Thomas's cousin, like you said, mm-hmm. 5 miles away in Afton, he built this wonderful log house. And Mark can tell you about that in a little bit. And he had his family grew up there. And I believe there were 13 children that occupied the inside of the house.
Mm-hmm. A baker's dozen.
Yep. And he had originally about 300 acres there, and mm-hmm. it was along a creek.
Yeah.
And that's where they got the rock to build the stones, you know, for the chimneys and things like that.
Right. That's a lot of history, Diane. Is this history that you knew as you were growing up, or, I mean, how did that come to you?
So, of course, there wasn't the internet back there. There wasn't Ancestry.com or Family Search, nothing like that. So a lot of it in the beginning were just stories mm-hmm. that they put down on paper. But then as all the technology increased, you could actually go in and look up your ancestors. So as it seems, I did know in the 1970s that I was part of the Thomas Sappington house, and hence Joseph, first cousin, they shared the same grandparents.
Okay.
So I do have a lineage to that. And Thomas, because we know more about him, he had 17 brothers and sisters. Joseph did not have that many. Mm-hmm. So you married your neighbors because those are the only people you actually were acquainted with.
Right, right.
You know, so it was a small community, but it was called Sappington, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. So in this context of genealogy and family trees, mm-hmm. we talked about the moving of an entire mm-hmm. house, and that very much involves our other guest who's with us today. That is Mark Pratt. Mark Pratt is the president of Antique Logs Unlimited, Kirkwood. And Mark, you have been in charge of this move. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
So talk with us about the structure. This house that eventually did get built is a two-story home that is built out of wood and three chimneys worth of stone. How did you begin with this project?
So, the cabin is what they call a double crib. So it's one large pen with a single log dividing wall. And then there was a three-sided log addition on the left-hand side of the cabin. So the first thing that we did was we had to remove all of the, I'll say, later additions to the cabin, plaster and lath and external siding, lap siding, and porches and all the things that had been added over the years, dividing walls for different bedrooms and stuff, to get down to the actual log walls themselves. And after we had disposed of the other debris, then now we're faced with a building with all the logs exposed to us. So then we take and we make metal tags for each of the logs, and we number each of the logs so we know we can look at this particular tag and know exactly where that log went in the building. So then we popped the roof and then began dismantling the logs. And then as we got down to the floor, on the second floor, we, of course, removed the flooring, the joists, and it continued on down. Then once that was done, then we were left with the three chimneys, which supported five different fireplaces. So what we did is we color-coded the chimneys, and then we began to palletize the stone from the top to the bottom. So, and we numbered all the pallets. So the pallets would go from, say, 1 to 25, so that when we rebuild the chimneys, then we'll start at 25 and go back up to 1.
Mm-hmm. So this, I drew an analogy to Legos in the beginning, and I'm thinking about the instruction manuals that come with some of the more complicated builds, but this is another endeavor altogether. As you were starting, and then when you actually got going, Mark, was there anything that stood out to you about how the original log house was built?
Yeah, it was... The log house itself was remarkable in that, one, the condition, because it's been modified and lived in for the last 200-plus years. And then, so the logs were in magnificent condition for the most part, although there was termite and some water damage to the cabin. Mm-hmm. There had also been at least two fires that we know of over the generations, which had damaged some of the logs. So during the rebuild part of the process, we will replace those logs that have been too far damaged by time, mm-hmm. and we'll replace those with other antique logs. We'll re-notch those so that when we're done, the cabin will look like it had just been rebuilt, 200 years ago. But the other part of which was remarkable at the cabin were the chimneys. The stonework is absolutely fabulous in there. So whoever the stonemason or masons were, mm-hmm. they did a remarkable job with the chimneys. They're gorgeous.
That is a lot of work. And clearly, I mean, before getting to that point where, Mark, you were coming in with your folks to do that, Diane, this effort, it has required resources of many different kinds. It's taken many thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. as well as years of planning. What did it take to get from sort of the original idea to demolition day?
Right. So we did start in 2021. looking at the cabin and seeing our options. We thought at one point we could move it intact, but Ameren, there were 62 electric lines that Ameren was not willing to pull up, and I don't blame them,
right,
all those people would have been affected. So we had to think of other ways to get it down. And we did have an inspection on the logs, and they were deemed sound and virgin oak timber. Nothing had been touched on them. You know, it was just they cut down the trees and used them, you know. So we did a lot of fundraising. We do many events, and that, you know, affords us some extra money. And we have a gift shop that is wonderful. So we have been fundraising for quite, you know, for at least 3 good years. And we have come to the point that although it is a Crestwood Park, the foundation will own the Joseph Sappington House. So we are still fundraising. And you mentioned the groundbreaking on Saturday at 2. And we hope to show people that this will be a great learning center and event and meeting place, because we'll have 3 large rooms on the bottom. We're kind of confined with just the Library of Americana on the grounds now. So we can, I can do some so much more events in those 3 buildings, and they will be ADA accessible with ADA restrooms and a large front porch that we can do events and have concerts, which we do now, but this will be so much better.
Well, and insofar as updating goes, plans to rebuild this home do include some of the new and more modern things and more functional things that you talked about, Diane. What else is going to be added, Mark?
So we're going to fix some of the problems, for example, in the cabin. And when the cabin was first built, the 2 sections on the right-hand side were at one level, and then the left-hand side with the was the addition was about 33 inches below. So we're going to raise that section up so everything is on the same level, again, for ADA, but also to make it, you know, much more usable for everybody, just to easily work from one room to the next. And then as far as, you know, HVAC in there to control humidity, and of course plumbing, we'll have public restrooms in the back, in the lean-to addition on the back side of the cabin. So, and we'll have energy-efficient windows in there, we'll have insulation in the attic, a good foundation underneath of it, which is not leaking water like the original one did. So as we go along, we solve some of the problems so that the cabin can be better preserved, so that better serves the community in the future, too.
And
so,
as I understand, you get into these builds because you want to do it with purpose.
Yes. The cabin, there's some people that put up cabins and they just set them in a field or a park or something like that, and they're nice to look at and they're great. But I've always felt that a building needs to be, you know, serving the community, working for the community, so it becomes an integral part of a place to meet or a place to have an event or a place to educate school children about how life was 200 years ago and what everybody's responsibilities were 200 years ago. So when it becomes a working part of the community, then it just makes a better place for all of us to live. So.
Right. Diane, as this process has gone on, you talked about the logs, about the wood just being chopped down and then they are made part of the house. Is there anything that you feel like you better understand as someone who has a genealogical connection to the Sappington House that has just been accentuated by what you've learned?
Well, you know, Thomas goes back to 1808 and Joe goes back to 1816. Now, in that day, they had to live on the land for 5 years and build a home before they could get a deed to their houses. So they had to work their farm and, you know, have their babies and, you know, instruct them and everything else. I mean, it was the community. Each family had a purpose in the community. So am I answering your question?
And is that also part of what the appeal has been to those who are supporting this, the foundation and this move?
Well, yes. History means a lot. And if you tear down buildings or don't fix them so they can stand, then we're not learning. The next generation has no opportunity to see this. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a few of the Sappington homes still left, but this one will be very purposeful. Mm-hmm. It has a goal to serve the community, mm-hmm. and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I'm going to leave this last question to you, Mark. When people get to see this house completed, and it's projected to be done in 2026, is there something that folks can be paying attention to, kind of like an Easter egg, that would help them to appreciate just how much work has been done?
I think if they get a chance to, again, look at both the fireplaces as they're rebuilt and then the log work themselves, again, it's magnificent joinery that from the people who hewed the logs and made the notches and stuff like that. It's just a beautiful building. As a mm-hmm. log cabin, it's a magnificent building, and it will serve the community well in the future.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to seeing it. Mark Pratt is the owner of Antique Logs Unlimited in Kirkwood, and Diane Durkas is president of the Sappington House Foundation and a descendant of Thomas Sappington. Thank you both for talking with us today.
Thank you
so much.
The groundbreaking for the Joseph Sappington House happens this Saturday, January 11th at 2 p.m. in Crestwood. We'll link to information about that at our website. That's stlonair.show. We need to take a quick break. Coming up, a talk with someone who does talking and voicing for a living. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.